Well, that is the message of the Lord's Supper table. His life for your life. His life for mine. The great exchange, the great substitutionary atonement, that's what this table is all about. I'd ask you please to rise with me as we make our confession today and simply say what we've been learning and say what we believe and share it all together. Repeat with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church of the living God, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You remain standing and take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll read there in just a moment, verses 23 through 28. 1 Corinthians 23. Paul is writing concerning the Lord's Supper. He will quote our Lord Jesus, and then he will invite us to consider the message of this table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I begin reading in verse 23, where Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' And as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup." Now, in a moment, we will come to this table. I share with you most every time we do this because we bring this Lord's Supper table out. "This do in remembrance of me," etched into the front of this old communion table. Came here three pastors ago. You say, "Well, that's not very long." Well, when you keep preachers as long as we do, it's been a while. Brother Jeff Russo was our pastor when they first used this table. We built a new worship center over in Passmore Hall. They put this in the pastor's home. And when he died and his wife moved to Texas, she called me and she said, "We've got this table over here in the house. Would you like to have it?" And I thought, well, I don't know. Why would I want a table from a preacher's house? And I went over just to be kind and gracious, as I always am. went by, and she said, "Pastor, it's a communion table." And I said, "Well, goodness, yes, we'd love to have it. We'll use it, because we don't keep one in the worship center all the time. And we'll bring it, and there's history in this table. For over 50 years, pastors have stood behind this particular table. Deacons have come and served off of this table. But it's not just 50 years old, it's 2,000 years old. Because you do this not to remember me, not to remember you, not to remember Brother Jeff, but to remember the Lord Jesus. He was the one who gave his life for mine." Amen? That is what the table is all about. This morning, I want us to look at it briefly before we come to it and let it preach to us. God bless you, and you be seated. Notice that in the text I just read, verse 26 said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you preach, you proclaim, you herald the Lord's death until he comes again." Every time we do this, we're preaching. This ordinance preaches. It proclaims. It makes statements. What is it that it proclaims? Three things I want you to see this morning. Number one, the Lord's Supper proclaims the man on the cross. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It is all about the man on the cross. Jesus, the most influential person in human history. No one has influenced human history more than the Nazarene, than the Christ, than a simple carpenter's son named Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Paul said about him in 1 Timothy chapter 1, or chapter 3 in verse 16, he made a confession. And notice this confession. Here it is. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. And here's what he said about Jesus. He who was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Now I want you to notice, he was vindicated in the spirit. Now look right here. I'm about to preach a series of sermons on that line. Vindicated in the spirit. What in the world does that mean? Oh. When people do wrong to you, you want to be vindicated, don't you? I know I do. But I want to be vindicated in the flesh. Amen? I want somebody to say, I was wrong and you are right. Amen. They didn't say that about Jesus. He was not vindicated in the flesh. Oh, he will be one day. He was vindicated in the spirit because heaven said about him, you are right. Hear me. When people do you wrong, it's okay to be vindicated in the flesh, but the key is to be vindicated in the spirit. And that is that heaven says about you, you are right. It doesn't matter what the world says. They may or may not vindicate you in the flesh. You need to be vindicated in the spirit because that's where the truth factor comes in. Jesus Christ, vindicated in the spirit. John said about him seven things. He said, I am, seven times. And Jesus said it, and John recorded it when he said, number one, I am the bread of life. Dear friend, you take of Christ, you never hunger again. He said, I am the light of the world. He illuminates darkness. He said in John's gospel, the third, I am the gate that opens to eternal life. Number four, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he's dead, yet shall he live. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through me. And number seven, in John 15, I am the true vine. This supper today proclaims the man on the cross. It's all about Jesus. It just points upward to the Christ, outward to the world that needs him. The Lord's Supper proclaims the man on the cross. Secondly, the Lord's Supper proclaims the message of the cross. What is that message that the cross sends out today? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, you'll find it. You see it up here on the screen. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, he reconciles. That is the message of the cross. There is a sinful man and a holy God, and the cross reconciles those two. He brings them together. The message of the cross is this: it matters not how sinful you are. Holy God has reached down to where you are, and He reconciles. He brings you to Himself. You can't do it on your own, but through the cross, He reaches and He brings. Amen. Blessed be the name of our Lord. The message, let it go out that He loves the world and He loves every person in the world, and the Lord's Supper proclaims it. Here's the message: sinful man, there is a Redeemer. His life for yours. I share with you this story every time we do the Lord's Supper. Some of you have heard it over and over. Some of you for the first time. My good friends in Romania, as a matter of fact, they will be here next Sunday and worship with us. During the communist days of the 1970s and 80s, the church was underground. When they would have the Lord's Supper, it'd be very difficult. There were some brothers from Moldova and Hungary that were going to come across the border into Romania. And I've sat at that border for many, many, many minutes, sometimes all an hour or more, waiting to get through as you come out of Hungary from Budapest into Romania to go over to where our mission point is. During those days, you could wait hours. When those brothers would come, they'd be interrogated, and always they would ask you why you're entering the country, and they were going because they were having the Lord's Supper. And they'd been called together, and as they approached the gate, one of the brothers from Hungary said God spoke to him and told him what to say. And when he got to the gate, the guard asked him, "Why are you coming?" And he said, "Well, my elder brother has died. And my father has called a family gathering to discuss our inheritance." That's what the Lord's Supper is. Our elder brother's died. His name is Jesus. And we've come here today to gather around this table to discuss our inheritance. Amen. Our inheritance is heaven. That is the message of the table. That Jesus has reconciled sinful man to holy God. But there's a third thing proclaimed in this Lord's Supper table. The Lord's Supper proclaims the man on the cross, the message of the cross, and thirdly, the Lord's Supper proclaims the mission of the cross. There is a mission involved in this table. I want you to hear it in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the what? Of the what? Of the whole world." There is the mission proclaimed from the cross. We are to share the gospel with the whole world. Why in the world would we do Adventure Weekend in 3 weeks? It'd be a lot cheaper and a lot easier just not to do it. We do it because it's the mission. Why do we do Upward Basketball and have that time tonight of bringing moms and daddies and boys and girls here and have a gentleman come and share the gospel in a unique way with those kids? Now, why do we? It's the mission. Why do we knock doors? It's the mission. Why do we train witnesses? It's the mission. Why do I encourage you to make your platform, wherever you work, a gospel station? It's our mission. The mission proclaimed here is that Jesus died not only for our sins. He didn't just die for us. He died for the sins of the what? The whole world. The whole world. The whole world. And we are to be people on mission. Now I want to ask you 3 questions this morning as we prepare to come to this table. Number one, are you a Christ follower? Are you a Christian? Are you a saved man or woman? If you've never been saved, I would encourage you not to partake of the elements of this table. These elements are for saved people. They are not something for you to do to get saved. You don't take this bread and drink this cup to get Jesus. You receive Jesus by grace through faith. You call on the name of the Lord and you can be saved. And if you've been saved, then you come and you take this bread and you remember that His body was broken for you. You drink this cup and you remember that His blood was shed for you. There is nothing salvific in these elements. These do not save you. But today, if you've never called on His name, I want to encourage you to do that. And I'm going to help you do it here in just a moment. Number one, as you look at this table, examine yourself. Are you saved? Number two, are you united with other believers? Are you united with other believers? Now, there's a two-pronged question here. Number one, are you a member of the fellowship? After you've been saved, have you been baptized and joined a church? If you've not done that, you ought to be a part of a local church. You ought to be a part of Olive if this is where you come. You should join. But secondly, are you united in spiritual fellowship? Are there people you are at odds with? Are you mad, so mad you won't speak to certain people? If you got hatred in your heart against other believers, let a man examine himself. Paul said, I hear that there are factions among you, when he was speaking in this chapter, that there are divisions. Those things should not be. A church should examine itself to make sure they are one together. One man with another man together. Oh, we have our differences and disagreements, but we must walk in the strength of unity in the bride of Christ. You ought to be a part. And then you ought to get together. And if you're not together, you need to repent and go to somebody and say, forgive me. And be one together. Number one, are you a Christian? Number two, are you united? Now there's a third question here I want to ask you. Are you worthy? Are you worthy to come to the table? Now immediately most of you would say no. Well, I want to help you answer that question. He says in this text that if you eat and drink unworthily, you drink judgment to yourself. But brethren, I want you to understand, if you're forgiven by Christ, if you're full of the Spirit, if you're walking in unity, not by what you have done, but by what Jesus has done in you and through you and for you, you are then worthy to come to the table. It's the good news. We're not worthy in our own self. Nobody in here is worthy. As a matter of fact, if you think you are worthy, you just proved you're not. But when you understand your worthiness comes through what Jesus has done for you and in you and through you, worthy, worthy, worthy. Yes, sir, I'm coming to the table. Not because there is any good thing in me, save that Christ is in me. And when Christ is in me, I find myself worthy to come to the table and take the bread and drink the cup and proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. I'm going to ask you if you would, please bow your head for just a moment, and I want us to get prayerful before God. We're going to come to the table in a moment. You say to me today, Pastor, I've never been saved, but I know I ought to, and today I'd like to. Then I want you to call on the Lord's name right now. If you're not a saved man or woman, boy or girl, and you say, today's my day, preacher, I want to be saved. Call on Him. Say, how do I do that? If you'll say these words, "Lord Jesus, save me," He'll save you. You don't have to pray some big, long, elaborate law. Just he that calls on the name of the Lord. So in your heart of hearts, just say to him right now, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, save me. I need you. Save me." If you'll call on him right now, he'll save you. I did it when I was 10 years old. My daddy did it when he was in his 20s. My granddaddy when he's in his 60s. How about you? Have you ever called on his name? If you haven't and you want it, just call on him right now and ask him, "Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Save me." Now, secondly, you've never united with a church and you know you ought to be baptized or you ought to put your membership in a church, and maybe it's this church. And say, "Lord, I want to, and so I make my commitment, Father, to this body." Just tell the Lord right now, I commit myself to the authority and the structure and the family fellowship of a place called Olive. Lord, I just commit myself unto that right now. If you find there's something in your life that causes you to say, "Lord, I'm not worthy today because this sin is in my life," you need to confess it. The Bible says if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Maybe there's something in you today you need to examine your heart about. Just talk to the Lord right now about it. Speak to Him. Father, save the lost. Father, unite the Christians. Father, cleanse the church. We come to worship you today and proclaim your death till you come again. In Jesus' name. Now just look right here at me. In a moment, our singers are going to sing and we're going to get ready for the table. And while they're getting ready and in their place, there's a decision card there in front of you. It's just in the pew rack there by the Bibles. And it says, "My decision." This morning, if you've prayed to receive Jesus, I want you to take this card and fill it out. If you've said, I plan to join Olive Baptist Church, I want you to take that card out of there. It says, "My decision." Fill that card out. And when you leave here in just a little while, there are boxes at every exit. When you go, I want you just to put that card in that box. Just put that. We're not going to have a come forward invitation today. We do that 99.9% of the time. But today we're going to do it a little different. If you've trusted Christ, I'm going to call you and I'm going to follow up. You want to join this church today? Fill that card out. We'll call you and follow up, but just drop it in one of those. There's black boxes. They're there at every exit. You just drop it in. I want you to tell me, "I've called on him today, Pastor. I'm joining the family today, Pastor." Get right with the Lord. You just write that on there. "My decision." You find that card. They're scattered all over the place. You'll find them. And you drop that in the box. Now, in a moment, this praise group's going to sing. And after they sing, I'll be at the Lord's table and our deacons will be ready to serve you. We're going to come and worship King Jesus. When we pass those elements, you hold it. We'll take it all together and I'll give you direction. Right now, Brother Leo, you lead this group as we prepare our heart to act out the drama found in Scripture.